Hey guys, welcome to Conversations. It's so good to see my beautiful wife, Lisa, sitting across the table from me. She's shaking her head already. She can't stand it when I say that, but I will always say you're beautiful, even when you're 96. Don't even know why I said that number, but it sounded good. Anyway, Lisa, we're going to talk about addressing anger issues. Mm. And anger is a very real, real emotion and also problem in many times in relationships. Yes, it can be. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil.
Okay, so I read this scripture and I could not help but think about early on in our marriage.
Yep,
you would quote
this. Where you're going.
Yeah, you would quote the scripture to me and it would be hilarious. Like we'd both be laying in bed. We would have just had a fight and then we would like John's feet might like somehow come over to my side of the bed and touch my feet and I would like jerk away from his feet or push his feet away and he would jump up and be like,
"Turn on the lights.
We are not going to
pull
bed
the covers
angry.
Off of you."
And he'd be like, "We're not letting the sun go down." And I'd be like, "We started fighting after it was already dark. It doesn't matter. I have till sundown tomorrow." And then we would do this silly thing where we would grab hands and we would say, "I forgive you by faith." Do you remember that?
Oh, we were horrible.
Yeah.
I don't even know why God chose to use us to help people.
He knew we would grow out of it.
Yes.
But yeah, so the Bible, it's interesting. It says, be angry. Be angry. So it's actually giving us permission to be angry,
okay,
but not to sin.
What is anger not sinning? I want you to define it.
So
what is righteous anger?
Okay, well, it means, okay, I'm going to jump right now to the American Heritage Dictionary. It's going to make me sound smart. It says strong, usually temporary displeasure without specifying manner of expression. So it's okay to be angry. It's okay to be upset. It's not okay to move into the next step where you start punishing people and attacking people because you're angry. So the Bible says, in your anger, do not sin. So judging would be moving anger to a place of sin. Vengeance would be moving anger to a place of sin. Name-calling would be moving anger to a place of sin. Yeah, so it's supposed to be temporary, short-lived, do not let the sun go down, really kind of meaning don't go to bed angry with somebody. How many of you have gone to bed? I'm just going to say it, wives. You've gone to bed angry with your husband, and then you have bad dreams about him, and you wake up the next morning even more mad at him.
Is that
and he's
spoken
like,
from
why?
Experience?
Yeah, it is spoken from experience. He's like, why are you more mad? I'm like, because you know what you did in my dreams.
Lisa,
but anyway.
You know what happens to me if I do it? I don't sleep. Like, you know me, I sleep so well, but I'll stay awake all night. And it's because my conscience is just letting me have it. And so I have to think really seriously, do I not want to sleep tonight before I'm angry with somebody and going to sleep? So,
some nights we've actually respected each other and said, you know what, we're disagreeing right now. We're not going
right.
to attack each other. We're going to disagree.
Yep.
And we're going to disband. But we're not
going to drop the subject.
We're
right
going to drop the subject.
We're too tired.
We're too polarized.
Too polarized.
Too emotionally compromised.
Right. And but here's the thing, give no opportunity to the devil. So in other words, going to bed angry opens
gives the
you
devil
up
for bad dreams.
So is that
dreams.
The bad dreams? Okay, there we go.
Well, I also think it gets deeper in your spirit. You know, I have seen
I
a direct correlation between the length of time between an incident and the resolution of an incident and the deepness of an offense.
Well, think about the root of bitterness.
Right.
So roots given time will go deep to the point where you can't pull them out anymore with your hand. You're going to now have to get a shovel.
So I think it's important before we move on to the next thing is we're not asking you to suppress your anger. We're not asking you to swallow it and get an ulcer. We're saying,
remember the couple when we first got married?
There was a lot of couples when
we were first married. So here's this couple. They were the most active in the church.
The intercessors.
They were intercessors. And whenever Lisa and I got around them, we felt just
not
like
spiritual.
Like we were totally not even saved because of how kind they were to each other, how sweet they spoke to each other. And 3 years into our friendship with them, they got divorced because what happened was they kept suppressing and suppressing and suppressing their anger and feelings to the point where one day it blew up and they were irreconcilable. And it's a very sad story. Now, you and I, we probably had way more fights than them. But the thing is,
we were fighting for our relationship. Yeah. So we give you permission to fight for, not just fight in.
Yes.
Just fight for, and not just fight the person. So we want you want to fight for. So we don't want you to suppress it, but we want you to express it appropriately. And I had never seen that model. You'd never seen your parents fight.
No.
And I'd never seen my parents not fight.
I saw my dad raise his voice to my mom one time in 66 and a half years of marriage. And that lasted 30 seconds.
Okay. So going back to this verse, we're talking about anger should be temporary and short-lived. Because why? Because God, that's the way he does it. We want to be angry. We want to love the way our father loves. And we also want to look at him as our pattern for when you're angry. It says, for his anger lasts for a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime.
Love that scripture.
So I can be mad at John
for a moment,
but the favor of Lisa on John's life is going to last a lifetime.
Just for a moment. Lisa.
That's it. I'm gonna give you lifetime favor. And then it says Psalm 4:4 says, "Be angry and do not sin." That means I don't throw something at my husband. I don't call him names. I attack the problem, not the person. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. You know, I'm going to go back recently, and I know this is going to shock everybody, but John did something that upset me, and I distanced myself from him. He was outside doing something, and I said, God, what is going on here? And the Holy Spirit actually showed me something when I calmed down that completely dismantled my anger towards you in that moment. And so I think sometimes when we ponder in our own hearts and say, Holy Spirit, what's really going on here? Because sometimes you're not really fighting about what you're fighting about. Sometimes there's something way deeper and frustrating behind what's actually on the forefront on that. So we'd ask you to ponder in your own hearts, on your beds, and be silent. So many things that I have said I am sorry for. But I'm never sorry for the mean things I didn't say. I'm always happy I didn't say them. So ponder on your bed, listen to your heart, and be silent until you actually get some direction.
Lisa, we actually have an agreement that if we're both steaming and polarized, we look at each other and say, we need to drop it. And if one of us says that, the other one has to respect that.
And we didn't always do that. We used to chase each other
through the house,
from room to room.
Me being logical and you doing more from feeling, and usually you're right.
I'm very intuitive. I'm just so intuitive. You're so silly. All right. So listen, I was raised in a very volatile family, and I had a very severe journey with anger very early on in our marriage. You know, I found myself at a turning point, and it was partly because I had prayed a prayer where I had really asked God to come into my life and expose every hidden thing. And when I had my second son, Austin, Addison was about 2 years old, and every single day was just a journey of survival. I needed Addison to take a nap so that I could brush my teeth, take a shower, clean the house, and avoid the tests that I was failing every single day when John came home, which was, what have you done all day? He would look at the house. He would look at me. I'd be standing there with a Spanx spoon in my hand and my nursing flaps down. And he'd be like, this is a disaster. And I was like, I don't even know what I did all day. And I've just been busy and just felt like a failure. And so I remember one day Addison came down the stairs after I put him down for his nap two or three times. And I came running up the stairs and I no longer saw a child. I saw, this is the enemy. This is the one keeping me from getting anything done. And I stormed into his bedroom with him. And I remember lifting him up eye level and thinking to myself, you need to slam him into the wall and put him down on the bed. Then he'll know not to get off the bed. And I remember, I thought, yeah, that makes sense. And I lifted up my son eye level. And I was just ready to slam him into the wall when I saw something, John, I had never seen. Addison was not afraid of what I was going to do. He had no idea what I was going to do. He was afraid of me. And when I saw the fear in Addison's little two-year-old eyes, I remembered my own growing up in a physically and emotionally abusive household. And I put him down, did not slam him against the wall, put him down, hit the carpet, and began to cry. And I said, God, it's not my parents. They're not here. God, it's not because I'm half Sicilian. It's not the witches in Orlando. It's not the sins of the father. It's me. I have a real problem with anger, and I don't know how to get free. And John, I remember I wept and cried that day until I was completely empty. And in the stillness, I actually heard the Holy Spirit say, because you're no longer justifying this, I'll take it out of your life. He said, what you justify, you buy. You say, I have earned the right to be this way because of what's been done to me. And I remember what I didn't forgive my mom for was what I almost did to my son. And so I remember he took me to Galatians 5 where it, you know, talks about anger. But actually, right before I go there, it, you know, he showed me how I had imprisoned my mom in unforgiveness by not forgiving her for what she had done. And now I was fighting with the same thing. So I called my mom and I cried on the phone and I brought up the incident that had happened when I was a little girl, the one thing I'd never forgiven my mom for. And I said, will you forgive me? And she was crying. She said, that's the one thing I've never been able to forgive myself for. Two of us prayed that the cycle of abuse would stop, that it would stop. And then when you came home, I told you what almost happened. And right. I remember I actually called one of my friends in between talking to my mom and talking to you. And my friend was like, well, but you didn't do it. But you didn't do it. It's no big deal. It's no big deal. But I knew that when the Bible says we confess our sins one to another, that we might be healed. I was forgiven even before I confessed it to God, but I was healed when I confessed it to you. And I was healed when I confessed it to my mother that healing could start. In Galatians 5, 19 through 21 in the ESV says, now the works of the flesh are evident. Works of the flesh, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, adultery, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger or fits of rage, rivalries, dissension. And it goes on, and Paul says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Another version says, practice such things. That doesn't mean like a one-time, a one-off. It means you're in the practice. It becomes a habit. And so I had to say, God, I have become in the habit of sin. And the way you break a habit of anger is the way you formed a habit of anger. 1 minute at a time, 1 hour at a time, one word at a time, one phrase. I would lay in my bed, and before I even got up, I'd let me be slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to wrath. But that day, John, was a turning point, and I really believe it came because I humbled myself and stopped making excuses. I was raised with an alcoholic father. My parents were divorced twice. I lost an eye to cancer. I'm half Sicilian. I had this big list, but as long as you have the list, you will not be free. So if you're dealing with anger, we're going to just take this last bit of the session to challenge you. What is that area where you're blaming everybody else? And you go to bed with a list every single night of everything you did wrong, and you feel so guilty that you actually are deflecting what you feel up against yourself on everybody else. I was hard on John because I was hardest on me. And people with anger issues usually believe that God is good for everybody else, but not for them. We're going to challenge you, that area of unbelief in your life, that area where you have not been able to let God come in and believe that he is going to touch you and heal you. So you're trying to protect and deflect that anger, that heart condition of unbelief that has a spirit of fear attached to it. We're going to pray for you. So Heavenly Father, I just thank you.
Yes.
That we want to be angry and sin not. God, I ask that you would begin to start a pattern where new habits would be formed in their life. But Father, I ask that you would reveal the very deep root, the very deep core. For me, it was unforgiveness because of abuse I'd suffered through in my childhood. Father, let them go to that root and let them go to that person, forgive that person, and let the healing begin. Father, I thank you for courageous men and women dealing with their anger and their rage so that they can be angry but not punish themselves or punish others. Father, we thank you for the cycle of abuse, the cycle of condemnation being broken, and that they would be able to construct healthy relationships and healthy responses. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
And, you know, we actually have an entire book on this called Be Angry But Don't Blow
It.
And, you know, we really believe that it is a tool for people. It's an entire book dealing with the difference of anger and rage and wrath and judgment in your life. And because when God set me free, it really was a major turning point for me. So.
And then the other book I think that goes closely with it would be the Beta
yeah,
Satan.
Yeah, forgiveness.
Because that's the very root.
Absolutely.
And I want to read this scripture to close. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Think about ruling your spirit. A person who rules their spirit doesn't allow other people's actions and behaviors to cause him to change the way he behaves or she behaves. They are in charge of how they behave. So thank you for joining us today. And you can write a review, subscribe, and share this podcast through iTunes. So, and we appreciate you doing it. And we want to hear from you because Lisa and I are beginning to structure conversations on what you ask for. Please cover a subject. And so it's very important to us. You can contact us by going to messengerinternational.org/podcast. So we'd love to hear from you. Let us know. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to Conversations with John and Lisa. Let us know your thoughts by leaving a review. And be sure to subscribe and share these episodes through iTunes. Also, we'd love to hear from you. If you have any topics or questions that you'd like for us to address on future episodes, please send those our way at messengerinternational.org/podcast. You can also connect with John and Lisa through Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Until next time.